Someone light the fire. Someone jump up higher and help us be more inspired. Someone light the fire. Someone jump up higher and help us be more inspired. A million years and we're still here trying to understand, trying to find our way to love and back home again. Someone light the fire. Someone jump up higher and help us be more inspired. Someone light the fire. Someone jump up higher and help us be more inspired. Time to set your life ablaze. The world's at your feet. We gotta learn the ways of love, so turn up the heat. Someone light the fire. Someone jump up higher and help us be more inspired. Someone light the fire. Someone jump up higher and help us be more inspired. And help us be more inspired. And help us be.
Peace and Justice program is John Michael Sun, the singer and songwriter of that song. And I really appreciate you being with us today, John Michael Sun. And it's kind of funny that that was not the song I intended to play, but it's really good because I am in my real life in a meditation retreat this week. And came out of it to come to the station to do the show. So It is true, spiritual life must be practiced. So thank you so much for being with me today.
My pleasure.
Yeah, you were a singer, songwriter, activist, and John Michael's first two albums were both spiritual. They were on cassette, Keeper of the Flame in 1998 and Look Inside in 1991. And those were before Code Red in 2003. And then you finished a whole nother recording, another album, and it wasn't preserved because of a recording error. And that must have been very difficult for you.
That was a very painful 24 hours.
I bet it hurt.
I just didn't know what the lingo meant. I didn't know that initiation, when you initiate something on a computer, you pretty much wipe it out and start over. So that's what I did. After months of work, I pushed that button and it wiped it out. So, but, you know, moved on to other things.
Right. And then in 2005, you did Love and Peace. And that is then your most recent album was in 2019, a CD called Coyote Howling, which was recorded mostly in Paradise right before the fire.
Right.
So you've been really prolific. How did you start writing and performing music?
Well, let's see. I mean, everybody probably when they were a kid takes piano lessons, and I took lessons for several years, you know, and I wasn't very good at practicing, but you know, somewhere along the line, I wrote a little song. I mean, the cute thing about the piano lessons where I wrote this little song called Swiss Mountain Echo, and my teacher really liked it a lot. It was an instrumental on piano. And she sent it off to some publishers, and they were all very supportive, you know. I'm just a beginning amateur. But they sent me back a bunch of music manuscripts, music books by, you know, the greats, you know, Mozart, Beethoven. So, but that was like when I was a kid. And then, but, you know, I really didn't get into music until I was about 18. And I picked up my first guitar. And then the rest was history. You know, I started learning different music by different people. And, you know, James Taylor, and Cat Stevens, and Neil Young, and all the rest. So, but then, you know, I made my way to Corvallis, Oregon in 1976, and I met this man, and him and I started playing a lot. So, and my writing became, I mean, I really didn't find my voice or, you know, my story or how to write a story until I was probably 29, 30 years old. And, but yeah, it's a long journey. It's been a long journey musically.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing about your music is that it's accompanied us in this area through some really difficult times and right. also some really good times. You and your partner, Susan Dobra, used to do the open mic nights at Has-Beens. Right. You're really well known throughout the community right. for your music at all the benefits and just every space where music happens. You two mm-hmm. have been there, and right. and then Paradise happened, and mm-hmm. and I think you became sort of the poster child for the suffering that people encountered there when you when you sang your song, and I'm going to see if I can get that up. I'm
right.
so, like you, not so hot on the technical things, but let me see if I can play that song. Let's see here.
Sure.
Hang on.
It's time to stand up on your feet. Join the revolution in the street.
No, I want to play that song. You know, actually, that song that I just was playing accidentally is a song that I hope to start this show with from now on. And one of one of the problems that the Peace and Justice Program has had is that it doesn't stay in the archives forever because of copyrighted musical material that are used for segues, and it's a difficult thing to. You know, to lose your product of so much work, as you're very aware of from what you went
right.
through.
Right.
And so, anyway, that's one of the things that that I appreciated, that you're going to give permission for me to play your songs. Then they're not going to, you know, I'm not going to have to worry about losing my archives. So
Right.
So I want to go back and try this again. I might goof it up again, but here we let's try it again to get this song from Refugee.
It's for free.
No, it still wants to play the other one, Love and Peace. How about we listen to Love and Peace? Is that okay with you, hearing this song?
Yeah, that's fine.
Love this song, and it apparently wants to be played, so let's let it. Here we go.
Have the power to change our lives, but it's gonna take sacrifice. Life is like this, nothing is for free. Your time is precious, but so is love and peace. It's time to stand up on your feet. Join the revolution in the streets for peace. Together as one. It's time to stand up on your feet. Join the revolution in the streets for peace. out the laundry list and start anew. Make love and peace the number one thing to do. I know it ain't easy, you gotta change your plans. But future generations will clap.
Oh, John Michelson, I'm sorry. I was trying to scroll down to another one to see for the next song, and then I did that. So this is how she does it. So, wow. You know, what I wanted to ask you, though, is about some of our times. This song about love and peace means a lot to me because it's kind of our shared history here that we were opposed to the Gulf War. That's how I started this program back in 91.
Right.
And during that time, you held probably one of the longest independent protests in the history of Chico. You were at First Street and Children's Park a group that you called Street Peace, and you were protesting the Iraq War, and there were about seven of you, sometimes more, and you were there from 5 to 6 every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday for over 3 years. What did it mean to you? What did you see? Why was it worth starting and worth ending?
Well, I mean, it started from my experience of seeing the tragedy unfold on TV. You know, seeing the kids, especially the children's bodies that were just blown apart. Seeing those kind of images, just, you know, I had to look, you know, I need to be in the streets. I need to be somewhere out there doing something that matters. And I don't know if standing in the street was the way to go or whatever. I just knew that, okay, I could do that. And then it was Tuesday, Thursday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 5 to 6 o'clock every week. And in the beginning, there was a lot of hostility in the street. There were a lot of people who weren't happy that we were there because it was fresh and new. I mean, the majority of America wanted to rush to Afghanistan, and then they bought the lie for Iraq, and they wanted to rush there. But it was a long journey. I mean, there were many days where I thought to myself, you know, what am I doing? What am I doing out here getting yelled at by people and stuff like that? But I think it really made I wanted to believe that if you make it, they will come. And I think by the end of it, you know, when I decided to just move forward, this is when Obama won. I said, okay, well, I'm going to hand it off to Obama and just take a break. I felt like, yeah, we probably changed a lot of hearts. There was more positive response to us by the end, after 3 years. But I'm sure you can relate, Chris. I mean, here we are in 2021, and are we that further down the road? How can we change things? And which we do, radically. We need to radically change things. And so anyway. I don't know if that answered your question, but
no, it certainly did. I want to celebrate your music as well as talk to you. So I'm going to play some of Code Red, which was a song that we all identified with at that time. You know, the Bush administration had this code system of alerts, and for those of us who are looking at planetary risk and massive death, I mean, it was really a time of Code Red. So let's listen to that song.
Okay.
Here we go.
Wow. There we go.
Voices from the grave saying loud and clear, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. Voices from the grave saying loud and clear, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. Remember those who have died by his hands. Remember those
child, the new maybe you should be right.
A mother's hope, all blown away. Voices from the grave, saying loud and clear, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. Voices from the grave, saying loud and clear, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. And what about those who are still alive in hospital beds with burned out eyes, their bodies ruined by Allied bombs? What part of Satan did this democracy come from? What part of Satan did this democracy come from? Voices from the grave saying loud and clear, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. Voices from the grave saying loud and clear, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush.
Okay, I'm going to dial that back. I'm on the phone with John Michelson, and he is a campfire survivor, a singer-songwriter, and a climate activist. And John Michelson, your most recent work, especially after losing your home and the massive destruction in Paradise, you have been really focused. You and your partner Susan Dobra have been very focused on climate change, and you were even posting about that on Facebook yesterday. And I was wondering, what are your thoughts about the evolution since we went through that horrible war with a complete lack of democratic buy-in for the Iraq war, and now we're not getting the buy-in we need for slowing or stopping climate change. What are your thoughts about your own community of Paradise, and also about the nation and the administration and the world commitment to what needs to happen?
Wow.
Big one.
That's a big one. I mean, what are my thoughts? I would like to think we have to do some radical change. The other day, you know, Amy Goodman, you know, said that what everybody's heard by now is that, CO2 levels are higher than they've been in the last 4 million years. And that's because of human activity. And we have to do something yesterday. We have to that needs to be our number one issue. And how to do that is going to be very, very complicated. As we see with COVID, we rely on this economic machine. But now we have to, and if it starts, if we lose that, there's a collapse. So we have to do something about the engine. We have to change the engine, and we need to get away from fossil fuels so that the engine doesn't run on that anymore. But the engine is there, and it needs to run, but it needs to run on solar and alternative energies. And how to get out of this mess, it is so complicated. I can imagine it, but it's going to be a hard journey. I don't think it's going to be an easy journey. It's going to be a difficult journey.
It is a difficult journey, but the prioritization that you have on it and the focus, I think the hardest part of this is staying focused, and using our political muscle. And there's some people that are really good at focusing, but others of us are like all over the place like I am. And I do appreciate what you and your partner are doing. I know that Susan is working on the Campfire Restoration Project and the Regenerating Paradise group. And at the very beginning of this, both of you were doing the Climate Uprising project with Nirvan Mullick, had some great actions around that.
Right.
And so, using what happened to the Paradise and much larger community, it wasn't just in Paradise, of course, it was all the communities surrounding Paradise too, but using that in a way that that create social change, I think, is still really beneficial. Right. And I wanted to play another one of your songs. I think this one, Icebergs, really speaks to that. Is that okay? Let's listen to that one. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's a good one. Here we go.
Tell me, why do we resist the truth? Do we really think nothing's gonna happen soon? Well, open up our eyes. Now it's time to realize icebergs are melting. It's another sunny day. The whole world is changing, and I think it's here to stay.
Song is so beautiful, John Michael Sun. That's
Thanks.
Really a lovely one. And
you know, if I may, I was going to respond to that about, you know, what we can do during these times to try to change some of this. And you know, and I was writing down, for me, the number one issue is climate change and climate collapse and what we've done to the oceans and the air. These are important issues. And as I, you know, when I think about this, half the country doesn't believe this kind of stuff. And so, and I look at that polarization, it's like the number one issue might be, how do we break down this polarization, this veneer of differences, and get to the science of what we need to do? And that's a really hard one, because the people out there, they're really set in their ways. They really buy into the fake news kind of thing. And so that's, yeah, if anybody's got any answers to that that problem, I think if we can work on that problem a lot, then we might be able to break through and save us.
Well, I appreciate also that you have focused so much of your music and your intensity on the issues of compassion and living in harmony with, you know, with the spirit. And I see, too, that you are working on sequestering carbon, learning permaculture, mm-hmm. and learning how to grow a food forest where you are now in Butte Valley. We're running out of time, but do you want to tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, you know, we... It's a lot of work, and but we have these 4 acres, and we just got finished planting 20 fruit trees, and but it's mainly this. It's a pretty dry piece of property, and we want to bring the water back, and that's going to take a while. You know, you plant your trees, and then you start a kind of a second layer or an understory of shrubs and different trees to complement your fruit trees and to break up the soil and also bring the water back to the surface. And so it's a different kind of, it takes longer than I'm schooled in the every year you use your rototiller, you break up the soil with a rototiller and you plant your seeds. This is more, you don't use the rototiller. You kind of honor that what the soil has done. And but you also add to it to make it more productive, more balanced, more like a forest, how a forest lays down different layers of mulch and leaves and to create the soil. But I know very little. I'm an old school gardener, and Susan's really gotten into it, and she's brought me into it, brought me to the fold, because I'm an old school kind of guy. I wasn't sure about permaculture, but now I'm very sure. And if you've never heard about it, yeah, you just go on Google, watch the videos. You'll be very inspired by the work here. It's a very powerful way to kind of bring the planet, bring humans back to the way nature gardens.
Right. Yeah, and there are a lot of people working in that area now. So growing our own food and learning the ways of the earth and trading food and giving away
right.
food. And there's a lot going on there. And I just want to point out that you changed, you learned. And so that means that other people, too, can change. And so that's, I think, the powerful good note that we should leave our conversation on. And I'm going to I want to try one more time to play this song about use. It's so powerful. The video, if people haven't seen it, is on Climate Uprising. And it's John Michael's son sitting in the wreckage of his own home. And I'm going to try that now as we go out. And thank you for your time so much. I really appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
And, of course, it's not playing, but maybe. Let's see. There it is. Thank you, John Michael's son.
Yeah, thank you.
I finally had me some roses that weren't eaten by deer. It was a good life. And now I cry me a tear, 'cause I'm a refugee and I wanna go home. Yeah, I'm a refugee and I wanna go home. I'm a refugee and I wanna go home. Yeah, I'm a refugee and I wanna go home. There was a fire on the mountain. Burned up everything, our sweet life up in ashes. We're starting over, you and me. No, we ain't got a clue where to go, what to do. But I know we'll be fine between the laughing and the crying. But now we're refugees and we wanna go home. Yeah, we're refugees.
Thank you to those sweet people, to John Michael's son and his partner, Susan Dobra, for their work in our community and for surviving. Thank you. So this is the Peace and Justice Show. We're on every Friday, 11:30 to 1, with rotating hosts. My name is Chris, and we are really beholding to our underwriters and to all of you listeners who donate to KZFR. Next week, we're going to have a mini silent pledge drive, although I may not be that silent about it, because we need to raise a bunch of money to do a matching on a Corporation for Public Broadcasting grant, or we won't get the grant, and we really, really could use that assistance from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So next week, I'm going to be hitting it. So we'll try to squeeze you for some money next week, or you can give any time online at kzfr.org and go to the donate tab. Peace and Social Justice is made possible by you supporters and Chico Natural Foods Cooperative, offering a variety of organic and local produce, organic groceries, and supplements. The co-op has hot food, ready-to-eat sandwiches, and cold brew coffee. The co-op now accepts online orders for curbside pickup. Chico Natural Foods Co-op, open every day on the corner of 8th and Main in downtown Chico. And by Chico Velo, supporting bicycling, education, and advocacy since 1980. Chico Velo encourages you to ride your bicycle and park it safely at their bike valet when available at the Thursday night market and the Saturday farmers market. For more information, visit chicovelo.org and find them on Facebook. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. The opinions voiced on the program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers, just my own and my guests. And I'd like just thank a couple more underwriters here. I'd like to thank the Regional and Continuing Education Program at Chico State, offering online graduate test preparation courses for those seeking an advanced degree in a wide range of fields, including law and business. Sign up for complimentary strategy sessions to help you prepare to take the GRE, the GMAT, or the LSAT at rce.csuchico.edu, and by Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, family owned, operated, and argued over since 1980, reminding listeners to think for themselves but drink with others. Let's go ahead and segue with another song by John Michael's Son, and I'll get our next guest on the line. Here we go.
As I look into the eyes of this child, what would I say to him right now? A child whose arms were taken in the name of our sweet freedoms, whose family died beneath our liberating bombs. Don't look away, don't run and hide behind your cerebral walls and all your lofty reasons why. Don't look away, just go inside children's hearts and live their lives and feel their pain. As I hold this child in my arms and I imagine that he was mine. He was once, not long ago, a vibrant whirlwind of energy. But now he's been broken in half for you and me. Don't look away, don't run and hide behind your cerebral walls and all your lofty reasons why. Don't look away, just go inside of these children's hearts and live their lives and feel their pain. Oh, for me it's difficult to face the truth. I lay awake through the sleepless nights, knowing that we did this to you. What's wrong with us? And oh, can we see by the dawn's early light the human price of our peace? Don't look away, don't run and hide behind our cerebral walls and all our lofty reasons why. Don't look away, just go inside hearts and live their lives. And as I look into the eyes of this child. What would I say? Could I say to him?
Okay, best laid plans there. This is Chris. It's the Peace and Justice program, and we are live, and sometimes our guests don't pick up. And you never know why that is, even when you've confirmed as recently as a few hours ago. So it just happens, but I apologize for that. And I hope that my guest today will show up eventually. I'm going to try him again in a little bit, but right now I want to read you something from the most recent Chico Soul, which is an online newsletter. And this is important. It is an article by Leslie Layton, the editor. She says, the Chico City Council, in a special Tuesday meeting, after several failed motions, adopted a preliminary plan for spending more than $22 million in American Rescue Plan votes in a 5-2 vote. A council majority agreed to remove a jobs training program designed to get unhoused people into the local workforce when they adopted the plan brought to them by City Manager Mark Orm, who called it a preliminary framework or a roadmap. Roughly, the plan allocates about 50%, about 50% of the funds to improvements in infrastructure, 30% to government services, and 20% to local businesses. Councilors Cammie Denley and Alex Brown opposed the plan, which was adopted in a motion made by Councilor Sean Morgan at a special meeting at 4 o'clock. This meeting was a mess, and it was bound to be a mess, declared Brown, as the panel struggled to get a motion that would pass, bringing a $23 million spend to us and to the public in this way was absolutely the wrong way to spend American Rescue funds, Brown said. We didn't get a good understanding of where the money could go to, and neither did the public. That's incredibly problematic, she said in a telephone interview. The jobs training program that was removed from the framework had a hefty $500,000 price tag, but was the only piece that would tackle the problem of homelessness with a solution-based approach. Morgan's motion redirects those funds to youth activities. Morgan said he was removing the work training program not because he dislikes it, but because my colleagues don't seem to like it. That's in quotes. The framework adopted by the council includes the possibility of using $1,050,000 in federal funds for a resting site for unhoused Chico residents and for park rehabilitation, an allocation Morgan wanted left in place so the city isn't obliged to spend general fund money on some type of homeless sheltering project required in a court settlement. Legal Services of Northern California has filed suit against the City of Chico and Chico Police Department regarding treatment of homeless residents, and a federal judge has imposed a temporary injunction stopping the city from more eviction sweeps at encampments until it has proved that it can offer adequate sheltering options. Councilors have not explained what the city means by resting site. Councilor Denley opposed the inclusion of the resting site without having more information. She argued that it may be illegal to use federal rescue funds for the resting site if it's part of a court settlement. Morgan warned the council against removing the resting site option prematurely from the plan. If whatever is worked out in this pending litigation requires that we do something, which is somewhat likely, in order to move to enforce our ordinances again, which is where I would like to go, if you remove that as a possible means of paying for that, it has to come from the general fund. The ordinances that Morgan referred to have been criticized by Legal Services of Northern California as an unconstitutional web and by U.S. District Court Judge Morrison England as, quote, overly broad. Deputy City Manager Jennifer McCarthy told the council that the work training program price might be reduced by half in the future. There are a lot of costs related to this program, she told the council, but it but it's always a greater cost the first time you do it. It's a pilot program. Hopefully the end is that we've created a pathway to employment that wasn't there previously. The program, if it were to come back, would involve a series of skills and vocational training workshops in partnership with other city organizations and agencies. Some 30 unhoused individuals who show up for the series and demonstrate commitment to the process would receive further help preparing for employment. Assistance would be given to local businesses that provide temporary jobs and covering workers' comp and other costs. McCarthy said the meeting Tuesday was meant to give staff a general idea of council's support for a variety of items. But counselors at different points indicated frustration with the lack of detail or the presentation. Morgan, however, defended city staff, saying the panel will be here till August if it demands detail on each item. Brown said she was bewildered by the scope of the meeting and noted that budget decisions traditionally come after many hours of preparations. She called McCarthy's proposed job training program interesting and innovative. There were plenty of projects I was excited about that I could get behind, Brown said, but the process by which this was presented was problematic. The conversation was muddled by the amount of projects, and the public didn't have an opportunity to weigh in. There should be a clear statement about what we're willing to invest in the homelessness crisis, not just because of the litigation, but because people are dying on the streets, Brown said. Homelessness solutions were a footnote. McCarthy noted there are restrictions on how the funds are used. She said the funding can be used in many cases for supporting business and industry in becoming more resilient, in providing broadband or encouraging tourism and insisting an assistance to unemployed residents. ORM's proposed framework includes allotments for a sewer line in Southeast Chico, citywide broadband and improved virtual meeting capacity, centralized dispatching, landscaping at the new BMX site, and improvements to downtown. The council said support to small businesses should be provided throughout the city, not just downtown. So there you have it, our city council botching away. And this is the Peace and Justice program. I am going to try to get Danny Scherzen on the line. Danny Scherzen is an amazing, prolific writer. He is an Army major retired. Danny Scherzen is the director of the Eisenhower Media Network. Following his graduation from West Point, Scherzen served combat tours in Afghanistan and Iraq. Following his overseas service, Scherzen taught at West Point and earned an MA in American and Military History from the University of Kansas. A political writer, Scherzen is the author of two previous books, Ghostwriters of Baghdad and Democratic Descent, America in the Age of Endless War. His writing has also appeared in the New York Times, Los Angeles Times, HuffPost, The Hill, Salon, The Nation, and elsewhere. Scherzen is a contributing editor at antiwar.com and a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy. Scherzen hosts the Fortress on a Hill podcast, and my hope is to get him on. He was my guest in January when Biden had first taken office, and I'm excited about his new book, which is called A True History of the United States, Indigenous Genocide, Racialized Slavery, Hypercapitalism, Militarist Imperialism, and Other Overlooked Aspects of American Exceptionalism, which just came out this month. So let's try it again. And in the meantime, let's go back to some John Michelson. Hang on.
As I look into the eyes of this child, what would I say to him right now? A child whose arms were taken in the name of our sweet freedoms, whose family died beneath our liberating bombs. Don't look away, don't run and hide behind your cerebral walls and all your lofty reasons why. Don't look away, just go inside children's hearts and live their lives. hold this child in my arms. And I imagine that he was mine. He was once, not long ago, a vibrant whirlwind of energy. But now he's been broken in half for you and me. Don't look away. Don't run and hide behind your cerebral walls and all your lofty reasons why. Don't look away. Just go inside of these children's hearts and live their lives and feel their pain.
Oh, for me. All right, John Michael's son. I have on the line with me a very hardworking woman. It's Teresa O'Connor, communications coordinator for the Chico Housing Action Team, also a freelance social media and website manager. And hi, Teresa.
Hi, Chris.
Yeah, I thought we would only have like 12 minutes to talk, but now we have a lot longer to talk. And I just read online on the radio, rather, Leslie Layton's article about yesterday's meeting of the city council, where they turned down a lot of work money that could have really helped homeless people get off the streets. And I know that you're very, very involved. I'd like to talk first about CHAT, since that's how you kind of, that's how I first knew you, as a communications coordinator for the Chico Housing Action Team. Can you give us an update about what CHAT is doing now?
Sure. CHAT is working on, there's Everhart Village, which is a planned micro-shelter project in Chico. It's in collaboration with the Butte County Behavioral Health Department, and this will be 20 micro-shelter units, we're calling them, or shelter units for clients for Butte County Behavioral Health.
Okay.
To help them stay on their medical regimen and to give them stability. And the goal is to stabilize them so that they can ultimately move into other permanent housing.
That's great. So, Teresa O'Connor, can you use your phone just as a phone and not on speaker? Let's see if your sound is a little bit better.
Sure, hold on.
That's better, right there, whatever you just did.
That's better?
Yeah, you're clear now. Okay, so the Everhart Village has been a long time coming, and I'm really, really grateful it's going to be operational this fall. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. That's the plan. There is a lot of contingencies involved, especially regarding the utilities, because we need to get PG&E and, you know, water and sewage installed, and that's all contingent on how many people they have, you know, to do the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think people really understand all the moving parts of CHAT. I know about the huge amount of maintenance, the food program, the social workers, case managers, the grant writers. What am I leaving out? What are the other 3,000 pieces?
We have 11 staff members now. Mm-hmm. So we have a housing coordinator, and that's Mark. He manages the Housing Now program, which is our flagship program, where we master lease homes and then lease out the rooms to individuals. We've got our CHAMP program, which is for helping Campfire and other North Complex fire survivors find housing. We don't provide housing directly, but we work with landlords to give them incentives to help get them, let Campfire survivors who might not be able to get into regular housing, maybe because of credit problems or because they have pets or they, they need a security deposit, things like that. We help them get into housing, and we've got 3 caseworkers working on that. We just got a major grant from North Valley Community Foundation. We're hopefully going to be able to hire 1 or 2 more people to help with that program, because the waiting list for that is growing almost daily. The more people hear about it, it seems like the more people are getting drawn out of the woodwork to get assistance from us for housing. We've also got Redwood Housing, which is for students. It's a program in conjunction with Cal State Chico. We've started up a Veterans House, which is in conjunction with our local VA office. We've got a house, it's called Harmony House. This is for people with mental health issues. And that's been, that has, I think, it's a duplex, I believe it has 8 people, that has a dedicated case manager for it. Then we've got some maintenance people, Addison is in the warehouse, and me doing the communications and the website and social media.
Well, it's just incredible. You know, it started off with, I remember when Lloyd Pendleton came out from Utah, and he just kind of looked at the crowd and said, "You can do it. You just have to start. You can do it," pointing at like Leslie Johnson. And then one step at a time, that's how social change happens. It's just amazing. So much hard work, but it's really, really happening. And, you know, for Chat, everyone sees Chat as really established. Chat is really mainstreamed almost. But what are the needs of Chat in terms of our listening audience? What do people need to be aware of in terms of their responsibility toward Chat to keep it moving forward? Because it needs to move forward. The housing crisis hasn't ended. In fact, we're facing the end of this COVID rental moratorium. Eviction moratorium. What can you say for us who would like to support Chat?
Sure. Well, we're primarily a volunteer-run and managed organization. We do have the staff, but we have many, many more volunteers who help with maintenance. They help with the warehouse. They help with getting folks moved in and out. They help with kind of assisting the residents who need, maybe they need assistance with life skills or setting goals or, just learning some basic things, or just they need an ear to tell things to. So we have a whole bunch of needs for volunteers. We can always use help with, communications and social media. There's way more stories than I can keep track of, and I would love help with that. We always need help with fundraising. We have several active committees with volunteers. So folks can volunteer that way. We have website, chicohousingactionteam.net, where you can go to our volunteers page and apply for it. We do ask everybody who volunteers to go through an orientation so that they understand what Chat is about and what our culture is about, and that they they get familiar with some of the confidentiality requirements in case they do end up working with residents. We're always taking donations, for sure. You can donate on our website. We would also love monthly donors. That really gives us a really strong cushion, so that we know that we can do our day-to-day activities. We take vehicle donations. We take furniture donations through our warehouse. We ask that you send us an email. You can check on our website so that we can see if we have room for it. We did just get a new furniture warehouse, but it got really full really quickly.
Wow.
So we're having to be selective about that. We do have our food program, and I think they've got enough volunteers for that now. But donations for that will keep the gas going and just all the coordination it takes to keep that program going.
Yeah, that used to be by me, so I used to get to see them every Saturday, and it was really quite an incredible project. What the food program
it's
was
an amazing project for sure. Kathy Weeks, she's just stellar. She works so hard at it.
So people descend on the whatever the warehouse is, and they sort through food, and they make up bags, and they take it out to all the different chat houses. And so there's like 20 cars of people all laughing and having fun, and then taking the food out to the different houses. And it's just works like clockwork, and it's just much more fun, you know. So that's,
yeah,
that's a good one. So in terms of any threats to chat, or is there problems with the city council, or is there I know there was one camper who was really angry because he was going to have to pay a big chunk of his very small income in order to get housed by chat. Explain how, like, a homeless person would move into some sort of a chat dwelling.
They would apply through our website. We have an online application form for the Housing Now program, and then our housing coordinator and our housing staff, they look through the applications, and they do try to pick the ones with the most need, but they also need to keep into account compatibility, because these are multi-person households. Mm-hmm. So they're having to sort of put people together who they think will fit together. The rooms are at market rates. We don't subsidize the rooms in any way. So we lease the homes at market rates, and then we sublease the rooms. The cost savings for the residents is that they're only having to pay for the room and not a full place, and they generally don't have to do the security deposit either. Mm-hmm. So otherwise, if chat is not able to help them, we recommend that people call 211 and get entered into coordinated entry. The coordinated entry system is a countywide database for people who need housing assistance. And we also draw from that when we don't have other people who will fit in the houses. It really varies from day to day on what rooms we have available and, you know, what programs those are for. You know, if it's for the Veterans House, or if it's for the Mercy House, because mm-hmm. those have different funding, so they have different requirements.
And the thing I always worry about with chat is there's so many other mouths to feed. You know, they're the unhoused people, they're all the programs, all the volunteers doing things and needing supplies. And it's like, I give monthly to chat. That's the only way I could really figure out to do it. And can you tell our listeners how they might donate?
Sure. They can go to ChicoHousingActionTeam.net and click the donate button in the upper right, and that'll take you to our donation page. This is our donation platform is in collaboration with an international philanthropy organization called Global Giving, and they've provided a donation platform for us that lets us show our story pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
Lots of photos and some good descriptions of what we're doing.
Well, Teresa O'Connor, I'd like you to stay on the line with me, and let's talk about some of the other programs and issues regarding unhoused people. I just want to play a brief promo for Chico Pride that's happening this month. So stay with me, Teresa, okay?
Sure, you bet.
Here we go.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place that feels like home quite like Stonewall Chico Pride 2021. Grab a mask and your favorite pair of ruby red slippers to enjoy a community art show and sale at Monca on June 4th. Drag bingo in a drive-in movie with Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar on June 10th. An LGBTQ+ interfaith spiritual service on June 17th. A Pride Brunch cook-along show with meal kits for sale at the co-op the week of June 20th. Drag storybook time in the park for kids and families on June 23rd. A pop-up fair and festival and a silent disco dance for teens, both on June 26th. And watch the Queer Variety Channel Showcase premiering June 27th. Go to stonewallchico.com for details, links, and tickets.
That sounds fun. That sounds really fun. I'm so glad we're getting back to whatever normal used to be. That's normal. I love it. So, Teresa O'Connor, we have been through a very rough time in Chico, and I'm not going to repeat the whole saga of homelessness in Chico, but let's start with the sweeps in the winter in January, and then the temporary restraining order that was called in, I think it was April. Can you kind of fill us in what's been happening since the temporary restraining order and homeless people mainly ending up in camping in Comanche Creek and Tykert Ponds and a few sprinkled out other places? Go ahead.
Sure, yeah. When the temporary restraining order came in, everybody pretty much relaxed in place, and I think a lot of folks have congregated over at Comanche Creek. There are other campgrounds that are appearing at Tykert Ponds, and we're also hearing of some in the Lindo Channel, and you know, we just hear about little camps showing up in a couple of places. I think people are, again, you know, they're feeling a little more relaxed now that the temporary restraining order is out. The organization I'm with that I've helped start, Butte County Shelter for All, is working with some other groups that are bringing food and water and basically, you know, basic needs items out to the campers.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people involved in Butte County Shelter for All. And for our listeners, this, I think, is mainly a Facebook page. I mean, that's how I'm involved. Is that true, Teresa?
Well, it's also an email group.
Okay.
We sort of merged with another group that was sort of working in the same space. And so we're trying to do a kind of both sides.
Okay.
At the same time.
Can tell people how they can jump on, will you?
Sure. There is a public Butte County Shelter for All Facebook page. And if folks are interested in joining the discussion group, they can post a comment or a message onto the page asking to be invited to the group. We have kept it as a private group in order to protect ourselves from some of the adverse elements in town.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really oppositional groups on Facebook, and we wanted to make sure to protect ourselves.
Yeah. Well, at this time, the city has until June 25th. The temporary restraining order has been extended twice now. And
That's right. They
are still sort of muddling along. And I was gone for 10 days, and I think there was some activity. Can you tell our listeners what's happening in Chico regarding safe shelter for the unhoused people of Chico that has been court-ordered?
Sure. There is a proposal from a local nonprofit called Caring Choices that would be a low-barrier campground shelter, and it would let people stabilize themselves. It would hold 50 to 60 people, which is not nearly, you know, the population of homeless folks in Chico, but that's about what they figure they can handle right now. It would link them to services. It would give them, actually, I think it would be a micro shelter space. It would give them a defined space. It would include a living unit, secure storage. It would also give them options for pets. It would have communal facilities. It would have portable restrooms, mobile laundry. It would also have some meal preparation and some caseworkers to help them folks connect with services and other resources.
Okay, so that went in as an RFA, and we don't know the status in regards to our kind wacky city council that doesn't really want unhoused people to just sort of evaporate or take buses somewhere else.
Go ahead. We've heard from several of them that they believe that most of them are transients, which we know from the data from the Pinpoint Time Count is not the case. That point in time count found that around 70% of the homeless folks in Butte County were from Butte County. So this idea that they're transients is it's not well-founded.
No. Right. And the unhoused people in Chico, just so our listeners know that, you know, another person has just died at Tygart Ponds. Even in summer, the risks to people are serious of living outdoors, unsupported, unclean, you know, with very, very limited access to water and porta potties. And people there really do struggle. And there are groups that are involved that are helping as they can all the time. There's the DSA Mutual Aid. There's North State Shelter Team. There's Chico Friends of the Street. Can you describe these groups and what they do, Teresa O'Connor?
Sure. Chico DSA Mutual Aid is doing probably some of the most right now. They are going out every Saturday to Comanche Creek, and they are bringing out food, water, tarps, underclothes, socks, shoes, things like that. North State Shelter Team is working on a mobile shower trailer that's been designed by Charles Withoon. He is working with at least three different businesses in town that are donating some or all of their work to make this mobile shower trailer a reality. It's going to be quite a bit smaller and more mobile than the one that Oroville and the county has ordered. They have ordered a couple of really big, you know, nice. They're going to be very nice shower units, but they're big and they're expensive. They're on the order of $250,000, I think,
mm-hmm.
Where Charles is going to be put together for $20,000 or less, I believe. So we're hoping that that's going to be a model for a mobile shower trailer that we'll be able to repeat here in Chico and in other places. And then Chico Friends on the Street is out at the plaza, I believe, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings now with some coffee and small breakfast. And then they're also out at the plaza every Sunday at noon for food and whatever people can bring.
Yeah, and also the North State Shelter Team, the city has provided one dumpster, and I think Safe Space paid for a second one, but
that's
those
right.
have to be emptied more often than a family dumpster would, you know, or there's hundreds of people, and they fill up a dumpster within a day or two or three. So the North State Shelter Team does loads and loads to the dump once a week.
That's absolutely right. I was just about to mention that. Charles is bringing out a trailer with a dumpster every Sunday. I believe it's, I want to say, 12:20 now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to get out of there before 2 so he can make the dumpster run.
Right. And then there's other smaller groups like the Hunger Trolley and individuals who take out sandwiches.
And actually, the Hunger Trolley is, I neglected to mention that they're getting big fast.
Mm.
They have just become an LLC, and I believe they're on their way to becoming a registered nonprofit. So they just got a board of directors, and they're just going gangbusters. It's amazing. Every Friday evening, I believe, they're whipping up dozens and dozens of meals for folks,
right.
And then bringing them out to.
Yeah, I want to remind our listeners that the Jesus Center is no longer providing food. And so some of the unsheltered have financial resources, and they can run to the corner market where they get junk food and survive on that. Otherwise, it's a fairly good walk to a grocery store. And then a lot of people are chronically hungry, and that's why the actions of the community to provide these meals is really important. And Teresa O'Connor, I know there's a Google sheet that where everybody you know, where they're trying to organize it now, because I know Food Not Bombs has recently dropped in and is doing some meals.
That's right. They came in on the same day that you delivered sandwiches, right?
Yeah, not me, because I was gone, but Rose Savino Blodgett was delivering sandwiches, and she met up with Food Not Bombs, and so that day the people feasted.
Yeah, that the Food Not Bombs was, they're a new player in Chico for providing some food. It sounds like they will be providing food once a month to start with.
Yeah. Well, they're old. They're actually old, but they came back, right. So they're welcome back, and they're much needed. But now, how would you have our listeners get involved in this? There's two ways I can see, either with material aid or financial aid, or with their boots on the ground. I know there's people that go out there and clean up on their own.
Sure.
They walk around and clean out the porta potties.
There is a GoFundMe for the Chico DSA Mutual Aid Camp Support. If you go to GoFundMe and just look for Chico DSA Mutual Aid, you should be able to find it. They are spending approximately $500 a month on food, water, and other supplies for the campers. Or you can go out. You can go out to Comanche Creek on Saturday or Sunday, around Saturday. I think it's around noon. Sunday's also Sunday would be Charles around 1:20. If you want to go meet up with those guys and introduce yourselves and just see what needs to be done. And also, you know, there's no harm in just going out to the camp on your own. Or with a friend, and seeing what's going on for yourself,
right?
And seeing what people need.
Yeah, you know, folks, I'm just gonna say something here. I never supported single-use plastic bottles, but now I see them as a lifesaver. If you can freeze water in those, and then get a wagon, and on a hot day, take it around and give everyone you see an ice bottle of water, you may not only be able to hydrate that person, but possibly even keep them from having hyperthermia. So just saying that little things mean a lot to people, and you too can be part of keeping people going until better solutions can come along. Teresa, you have started another group. I can't believe everything you're doing, but it's called the Affordable Housing Creation Group. What is that?
Sure. Well, when we started Butte County Shelter for All, Gerard and I and a couple of other folks, I had the idea that it would be sort of a, you know, think tank advocacy group that would spawn off other groups. And that is sort of what's happening. North State Shelter Team, I kind of like to think, was sort of spawned off of us. And I'm hoping that this affordable housing group will sort of be another activist group that can spawn off on its own. It's to analyze the state of affordable housing in Chico and advocate for creating a lot more affordable housing so that everybody in Chico and Butte County has access to affordable housing. We are inspired by a new policy package that came out of Portland. That's what they're calling it, the Continuum of Codes. And it is a set of policies that allows for a ton of different types of housing that aren't allowed right now. So shelters, micro shelters, duplexes, you know, the whole, what they call the missing middle, quadplexes, sixplexes, and also alternative housing models completely, like, you know, tiny home villages or yurts or social equity models, things like that. So we're trying to bring in some things that we're hearing from Portland and other places into Chico, because we know that, you know, Butte County has some of the worst homelessness in the state, and we're getting some of the least resources compared to the scale of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we're ultimately, you know, we're hoping we can be directly involved with creating some sort of alternative model of affordable housing in Chico.
Yeah, you know, I see this as a group that would be great for retired planners, architects, contractors, you know, the people who are used to working with county codes and city codes and, you know, who know their way around a hammer. It would be just a perfect group if all of you could play off of one another and really make some change, because that's what's needed. We need structures. We need roofs, you know, for people to move into, not tents, you know.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's kind of what I was aiming for when I first started this, and then a whole bunch of people kind of brought me back down to earth and say, we really need to focus on homelessness and human rights to really ground this movement so that everybody, you know, everybody gets involved, everybody has a stake, everybody's included. And I feel like we've kind of reached that, at least in the group of folks that I'm working with. We really are grounded in the idea of homelessness, you know, just being an atrocity, and everybody has the right to adequate housing. So the actual creation of adequate housing, that's just such at the core of our problems here. And attacking that is going to take some time and some thinking, but I love your ideas about consulting with some retired contractors and people who know about codes.
Yeah, and so how would people get involved in that one?
We're keeping it a private group for now, but since it seems to be getting some interest, we will try to make a public page for it and see if we can get folks involved that way.
Mm-hmm.
We've been organizing on Facebook just because it seems to be, especially during the pandemic, it was easier to keep folks up to date that way, and we're able to, you know, hold Zoom calls and keep people informed and just other events like that.
Yeah, a lot of Zooming.
That's right. Oh my gosh. So, where would we be with that, right?
That was wonderful. I mean, that's the only way I would probably have attended. But I'm speaking to Teresa O'Connor, Teresa O'Connor, 2-3-0s. And another way I think people could reach you is to message you on Facebook if they wanted more information. Is that true? Would that be all right?
Sure.
Yeah.
They could message me. Sure.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so we've covered a lot of this, but the big elephant in the room, of course, is our city council and the political part of this. What are you urging listeners to do in terms of outreaching to our city council in order to stop denial and get with the best possible, best outcome, best practices, place for people to stay until housing is built?
Sure. We are advocating that people contact all the city council members with requests for multiple safe, sanctioned micro shelter projects in Chico. We heard from the law enforcement, the police and the fire folks, that it would be safer and easier for them to manage if we had several smaller size projects. So we know that the city of Eugene, say, has 14 micro shelter projects going.
Mm-hmm.
They're about twice the size of Chico, so we think 7 what might be an adequate number, considering how many homeless folks we have here. And we're advocating that the city extend its shelter declaration, the shelter crisis declaration. We know that there's a strong impetus on much of the board for them to declare an end to the shelter crisis. They believe that there are adequate numbers of shelter units coming on board, and we do not believe that there's enough. And also, the shelter crisis declaration allows for quite a bit of funding to come to organizations in Chico and Butte County. And it also relieves the city of some liability. So there's almost no downside to keeping the declaration going.
Right.
And there's,
I'm
always quite a bit of down into ending it prematurely.
Right, and this is very, very important because a large amount of money will be lost if that shelter crisis declaration goes away. And I was also thinking about our listeners, and you know, boy, you miss any time at all, and you don't know what's going on. And how would they find the? I thought it was very moving what the judge wrote regarding Chico's criminalization of the unhoused, that there's this latticework of ordinances that make it impossible to even sit or lie at all anywhere in Chico, which goes against this Boise Martin decision. Is that available still online, and how would somebody find it if they wanted to really understand things from the point of view of this judge, who is a conservative, I might add?
Right. I believe the Chico Enterprise Record paid for that recording, and I believe they put it on their website.
Yeah. They published that in full, and I thought it was such a brave thing to do. I think that they've lost some subscriptions over just covering the news because people don't like the news. They don't like the homeless, and so therefore the newspaper shouldn't cover it.
Right.
And so that's another area of support that people might want to do is supporting local media, which of course includes Chico News and Review, who has been always honest and spot on about things. Chico Soul, KZFR, you know, those of us who are trying to get the word out, because there's
absolutely very much so.
Yeah, we have really fragile people. We do not have mental health services or addiction services really that helps enough people anyway. We have 3 minutes left, and I want to give you the opportunity, Teresa O'Connor, to talk about whatever you feel we've missed or haven't accented enough.
Oh gosh. Well, I hope folks get engaged in contacting their city council members. I am hoping that once the pandemic restrictions are you know, released, that we'll be able to talk with them in person. Because I'm leaning to the fact that talking with folks in person is where you might be able to change their minds, even if you think that they might not be open to it. If you can talk to them in person and look them in the eye and give them some facts, then, you know, I think that's where we're going to have to start working to change things in this town.
Right. Yeah. And also, those of you who are members of churches, you know, getting your community involved, you know, your own little groups, you know, getting to know unhoused people, I think is so important, because you just see, you know, it's
very
just
important.
Like people.
Yeah. And regarding the churches, I believe Caring Choices is working with a couple of churches to maybe put some tiny homes on their parking lots. So if you think that your church might be interested in that, then, you know, you can look up Caring Choices on Facebook or on their website.
And you know, the one group we haven't mentioned but is always a player in all of this is Safe Space. What are they doing during the summer, Teresa?
Yes, Safe Space is also helping with some direct aid to some of the campsites. A couple of folks are bringing out food and water, I believe, once or twice a week. And they are going to be involved with Caring Choices and chat for helping manage this safe shelter proposal that Caring Choices is putting together. Mm-hmm. So Safe Space will be providing some consultation and some volunteers, I believe.
So I have one more question for you. If this RFA only covers, like, say, 50 people or so, what's going to happen to all the other people? Are they going to just be chased around by police as per usual?
That's a really good question, Chris. I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. What we are hoping is that people will want to be in this camp, in this, you know, whatever the shelter project is, that people will want to not sleep on the streets and they'll want to go there. And when we show that that desire, we're hoping that that will create the, you know, the incentive to create more more projects
right.
like that. But right. until then, it's a really open question what happens to those folks.
Right. And the Torrey Shelter is expanding. They will have more spaces, and hopefully they'll hear the words of people that need, you know, less restrictive care. Mm-hmm. And because a lot of people can't, you know, you can't get a square peg into a round hole sometimes, and you have to meet people where they are. So, Teresa
That's
O'Connor,
right.
I really appreciate you. I want you to know that. You've been a great...
Thank you.
Been a wonderful facilitator for all these Zoom meetings that I have attended.
Thank you so much. You know, I learned so much from the folks at chat on
yeah.
how to, you know, how to hold a meeting where you can get stuff done and where people can still, you know, say what they need to say.
Yeah, wonderful.
So hopefully that's been working.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate you coming on in a pinch. I and talking longer than you originally meant to. Thank you.
Sure. That's been really fun. I really appreciate you having me on.
All right. Bye-bye, Teresa.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. This is the Peace and Justice Show. My name is Chris. Be back with you next Friday. With some wonderful guests. I want to thank our underwriters first. I want you to also stay tuned for Playing Dead. It's coming right up. I want to thank Peterson Tree Care, because trees need care. John Peterson continues his family tradition of caring for Chico's amazing natural resource. Licensed, bonded, and insured, with financing available, Peterson Tree Care handles residential and commercial properties and can be reached at 518-0924. And by Bruce Jenkins Insurance, a retirement advisor, excuse me, offering Medicare assistance, including prescription drug and supplemental plans, Social Security maximization, retirement income planning, and life insurance. You can reach Bruce Jenkins Insurance at 530-781-3592 or visit brucejenkinsinsurance.com. And I'm going to give you the community calendar here in a minute. I just want to remind you that KZFR now has a Northern Sacramento Valley and beyond, and even further, with a YouTube channel. This new adventure gives you the opportunity to see and learn about the people who put the people in people-powered radio. Zephyr Fest is our weekly YouTube show featuring local musicians and volunteers to make the mighty Zephyr strong. Get to the folks behind the microphone in this exclusive web series. Zephyr 416 is our monthly live simulcast show featuring amazing music by local and touring musicians. In the spirit of the annual Touch of Chico, KZFR is proud to present Uplift Community. Uplift Community is an inspiring and educational two-part series for all who are on a journey of connection to the body, mind, and spirit. Finding the channel is simple. Go to YouTube and type KZFR 90.1 FM. Click on our logo to view new past episodes of Zephyr Fest. So that's just another thing that we wanted to let you know about and hope you will enjoy. I'm going to put on the community calendar. Stay tuned for Playing Dead. Get kicked back and enjoy your Friday, and peace be with you all.
Hey, listeners, it's time for the KZFR 90.1 FM community calendar with me, Megan Hammer. Secret Trail Brewing Company in Chico hosts Trivia Night every Tuesday starting June 8th. It will be on the back patio, hosted by Cameron Ford and Dylan Collins. Come for sign-ups at 5:30 p.m. at the Secret Trail Brewing Company, located on 132 Myers Street, Suite 120 in Chico. The Paradise Ridge Chamber of Commerce is proud to bring back the Ridge's most loved summer event. Party in the Park Music and Marketplace is a seasonal tradition of local pride and community vitality in the historic heart of Paradise. With its farmers market, kids zone, talented bands and performers, arts, crafts, and local organizations, this event offers abundant opportunity to celebrate community. Food and drinks will be available for purchase. Local vendors, crafters, and merchants are encouraged to sign up for booths